Reading to you from Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and the first verse. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, dear friends, I'm sorry I haven't been sending out tapes lately. Some of you don't know it, but I was rushed to the hospital, and they gave me a colon cancer operation. It got the cancer, they said, and so I'm very happy with that. And I've been really kind of under the weather, but you know what? This God that I serve is a big God. Oh, I thank you who prayed for me, who stood by me. Well, friends, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, through obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your in heaven is through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Labeled as treasures, trials, and testings. Friends, you know what? Christians are different. Once they were lost, but now they're found. Once they were bound for an eternal hell, but now they're bound for heaven. Otherwise, the Bible said we are citizens of heaven, traveling through this world. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes Christians react differently? Well, they've found a new reason for living. They have discovered answers that set them apart. And why do Christians have different view of life? Well, their treasures are eternal. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, listen. I want you to know, this month, through this operation, I was in the hospital 5 days, and now the doctors told me I had to lay around for a couple of weeks to see how I'm doing. I found out the love of God. You know, friends, I received phone calls from all over the United States. I was amazed. I didn't know I had that many Christian friends. And I tell you, it was so rewarding. And plus, my doctor's a born-again believer. Both of my doctors, the surgeon and my regular doctor. And they kept telling me, Cecil, this is what we have to do. Well, so far, I do not have to take chemotherapy. So far, they have found no cancer in my lymph nodes. They found no cancer in my lungs or in my liver. So anyway, I rejoice. But through that experience, the day of my operation, my granddaughter, who is RN, she come and stayed with me. Oh, how rewarding, how refreshing. She is such a wonderful nurse. Boy, am I ever proud of her. And she wouldn't let them play no games on her grandpa. She stood right with me, and I'm so thankful. See, Christians know there's nothing takes God by surprise. They're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. They have been in God's plan from the beginning. We know that they have been set apart by the Holy Spirit, and they have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, and they are recipients of the grace of God. Why? Because we have found peace. Friends, the morning I bowed before the Lord, confessing that I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, I never knew what peace was until that hour. The love of God flooded my soul, and I just couldn't believe I'd never experienced anything like that. And I don't think there's a person in the world that can explain what the peace of God is unless you too have experienced it. The resurrection of Christ provides them with a living hope. Now, they have eternal inheritance awaiting in heaven. Listen to this. They are kept by God's power, and they will be hit with him forever. For those of you, dear people, who believe that you can lose your salvation, I wish you'd read that over again. Who are kept by God's power and will be with him forever. That's his promise. There are troubles, but they're only temporary. In verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. They have many causes to rejoice. Number one, their sins are forgiven, and they have God's promise of eternal life. They are not immune to trouble, but they know it will not last. Friends, a lot of Christians believe that, boy, I'll tell you, once you give your heart to Christ, well, you hear that all the time on TV and radio. Once you give your heart to Christ, you'll never have a financial problem. You'll never have a physical problem. You'll never have any problems. Well, that is a lie out of hell. That is a dirty lie. But our position in Christ is permanent. Now, discouragement is only for a season. Friends, I want to share something with you. The day I come out of surgery, I remember in my room, I thought, I have no pain. And I didn't. They gave me pain stuff, you know, and I did not have any pain. And then when they took me off that epidural, or whatever they call it, then I started suffering some real pain. And then I prayed, Lord, I don't want to take pain pills, but the doctor says that I should in order to get well quicker. So I started taking pain pills. Friends, I haven't taken a pain pill for going on my fourth day. How I thank God. It was his help, not mine. He'll help you if you'll just ask him. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what your problems are. But I know that God said, I'm with you. If you're going through fire, I'll be with you. If you're going through a flood, I'll be with you. It's a truth. I know it's true. This was Paul's reason for rejoicing in trouble. He could praise in prison and give thanks in persecution. Consider his dungeon doxology in the Philippian jailer. Why, dear friends, let me tell you what. They had been beating the tar out of him. Boy, Paul and Silas had really taken a beating from this jailer. Well, excuse me, the jailer was gone for a while, and so Paul said to Silas, you know what? You remember that song that we sang over there in the temple the other day? Yeah. How's that going? So Silas led in the song, and they sang the song. They praised God. They thanked God for allowing them to suffer for his sake. The Lord was so pleased, so very pleased, that he sent a great earthquake to shake all the doors off the prison. Well, now Paul and them could have all escaped, but they did not. They stayed in their cells, and when the Philippian jailer heard the earthquake and felt it happen, he run in there, and when he saw the cell doors open, he fell on his knees and cried out, "Good sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul gave him such a simple message, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's as simple as that. There's one more thing, though, folks. You need to repent. If you want to know Christ, you've got to confess that you're a sinner. And it tells us in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So then when we ask him to forgive us and to come into our heart and be our Savior, then he'll give eternal life. Well, the Philippian jailer was so pleased after he received Christ, he cleaned up the wounds of Paul and Silas. He said, "Brethren, would you come to my home and tell my family, my wife, and my children about Jesus?" Paul and Silas went over there and they preached unto them Jesus. Not how to be a Baptist, not how to be a Catholic, not how to be a Presbyterian, but how to find Christ. Then he shared his personal testimony and his whole family received Christ as Savior. And even after midnight that night, they were baptized. Now you say, "Whoa, you see, Brother Mo, they have to be baptized to be saved." Not so, not so. You are baptized because you have been saved. It depicts a death, burial, resurrection. Well, in Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I remember the day I called my skipper, Admiral L.J. Alexanderson, who had suffered a heart attack. And I was sharing with him, I said, "You know, Skipper, when we get to heaven, we won't have any more heartaches, no more heart attacks, no more cancer attacks, and God will wipe away our tears." And his wife said, "But Mo, the Skipper and I don't know whether we're going to heaven." And the Skipper said, "That's right." And I told him, shared a little short testimony, and I told him that they could find Christ that night if they would be willing to turn from their sins and receive him as their Savior. I led those two in a sinner's prayer. The last thing my skipper said, and he was 93 years old, "Cecil Moe, this is the happiest day of my life." He lived about 4 or 5 more weeks before God took him home. Oh, I'm so glad that I knew Jesus. You know, friends, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of preachers that don't know Jesus. There's a big, huge church who got 6 pastors. You know what? They will not use Jesus' name. Now, I don't understand that, because Jesus' name is the only name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. Are they ashamed of Jesus? Well, who? I don't understand it. But everybody that stands in a pulpit, dear friends, is not born again. I'll guarantee you that. And these evangelists you see on television that tells you all about your prosperity religion, and they send you your little cup of oil, and they send you your little prayer handkerchiefs, you can just write that off, because they're frauds. They're charlatans. And if you believe them, you're in real, real trouble. See, their trials are filled with the purpose of God's love. And I read in verse 7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. And yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." You see, all believers live in the circle of God's love. Nothing comes their way without God's knowledge. Now here's what he says. "All things work together for their good," in Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Every experience is designed to make them like Jesus. Look at Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen, friends. Trials test their faith to prove that is real. Like Job, the believer comes out of the fire like gold, Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Temporary trials will result in triumphant eternal praise. Listen, friends. Life's present passing problems will seem small when we see Christ. Oh, friends, I thank the Lord that he allowed me to go to the hospital, and I pray that this cancer will never reappear again in my life. If it's God's will, I really do. But listen, troubled sinners can come to Christ and receive eternal life. And troubled believers can find comfort in the promise of God. Listen to me. Treasures, trials, and testings. Maybe you're going through a trial tonight. Maybe you're facing surgery in the days to come. And you know what I told my doctor, who's a born-again believer? I said, Doc, you know what? I'm a little apprehensive. He said, Cecil, you wouldn't be normal if you weren't apprehensive. Oh, that made me feel good. And to go in that room and know I had several Christians surrounding me, I knew I was in God's hands if I didn't come out of that alive. I knew where I would go. Now, beloved, I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because I'm a believer. 52 years ago, I fell upon my drunken knees and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That morning, I found peace with God. My name was written in the Lamb Book of Life, and I was secured eternal, everlasting life through Christ the Lord. You say, Cecil, I don't have that assurance tonight. Would you like it? You would? Well, listen, if you feel a little old tugging at your heart right now, you're thinking, my, oh, I'd love to have that. My life has been wasted and wasted like the prodigal son. But now I really want a new life. Well, if you're willing to humble yourself, bow your head before God, and do not pray this prayer unless you mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm so sorry for the things I've done to you and done to my family and to others. This morning, Lord, without any reservation, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down right and ask you for any money. Friends, I don't care where you go to church. I am only concerned where you spend eternity. Won't you give me a call? 303-471-8534. I'm standing by my phone. The devil's trying to tell you not to pray, but I'm here to tell you the devil's a liar and he's bound for hell. The Holy Spirit's drawing your heart right now. Fall upon your knees and open your heart, and he'll give you eternal life.
That old
friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Seasonal. Dear friends, please hold me up in prayer. Did you know what? I wasn't supposed to go to the prison last. I went and had three services, my wife and I in a quartet, three services in the prison Sunday. And then I went home and went to bed, and 4:30 in the morning I was up going to the hospital for operation. Everybody said, "You're crazy, you should be resting." Listen, God called me to preach. I quit. Why would I want to quit? Look what he's done for me. Look what he's done for you. Well, anyway, you hold us in your prayer. And you know what? In next week, we have three services at the prison again. So hold us up, would you? And many of those men and women will come to know Jesus. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Please stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.